Hello and welcome. Thank you for listening to a podcast from Topics Norsvin. In our podcast, we discuss various topics related to swine genetics, our view of the industry and market developments. This podcast offers information in a lighthearted way, but covers serious topics. So grab a seat at the table of our Topics Norsvin lounge and enjoy listening.
Welcome to the Topics Norsvin podcast. My name is Dr. Mitch Christensen, and I'm the Chief Veterinary Officer for Topics Norsvin, and I'm based in Minnesota in the United States. And today we have a very important topic to discuss. We're going to discuss the crucial aspect of biosecurity on pig farms and explore the concept of having a layered approach to improving biosecurity. I'm joined by Dr. Eloisa Urchis. Eloisa, would you like to introduce yourself?
Of course, Mitch. Thank you for having me here today. I graduated back in 2010, and I've had experience to work in the field dealing with various aspects of pig farming, including biosecurity. I am here in Topics Norsvin for the last 3 years, and I live in Brazil, in Curitiba, and I oversee Central America and South America.
Very good. Eloisa and I have been working together on the global veterinary team for the last 2 years in our current positions, and biosecurity is often a topic that we discuss. And so I thought I would start by briefly defining biosecurity for our listeners. I'm sure if you've been to a pig farm or if you're in the pig industry, you have a pretty good understanding what biosecurity is. But really, when we use the term biosecurity, we're referring to all of those practices and protocols that we create that are aimed at preventing the introduction and spread of infectious disease. So all of those protocols and policies that we interact with every day, we're really just trying to prevent, to keep our herds healthy and prevent the spread of disease. And in today's interconnected world, where emerging diseases pose significant threats, it's crucial that we establish multiple layers of protection that enhance biosecurity. But I'm sure that many of you, when you hear the topic biosecurity, maybe you think it's somewhat of a boring topic.
That's right, Mitch. Biosecurity, it's often seen as a boring topic, filled with protocols, procedures. And however, it's important for us to help people to understand the why and how of biosecurity. And we need to emphasize why it's important and how these procedures, they can help our biosecurity and how they are implemented.
Yeah, I think you hit on a good point there, is helping the individuals that are working on the farms, that are visiting our farms, understand the why. That's critical because they need to implement those practices, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And you're not always there to monitor and audit those specific procedures. And so it is important to show them the why. One particular analogy that I like to use when I describe this layered approach is I talk about, the safety features in our automobiles today. First, let's think about layers. When you're in a car, the primary purpose of that car is to get you from point A to point B and to get you there as safely as possible. And so we know that even the government gets involved in implementing policies. There's speed limits that are set. There's road signs that control traffic. And then the car itself adds additional layers. And with new technology, we see that we've moved from having seat belts in the car. I remember as a kid in the 1980s riding in cars with no car seats, and we weren't often buckling up when we got in the car. And today we get in the car and we've added seat belts, we've added airbags, we've added anti-lock brakes, we've added sensors. And so all of those safety features are additional layers to protect the passengers that are in that car.
Yeah, Mitch, that's a great analogy. Let's break it down further. The layers of protection in a car, it could include, for example, sensors, anti-locker brakes that provide more control and quick stop, seat belt that begin to tie before the impact, airbags. Car, they are designed in a way that the impact is absorbed by the collapsing of the front and rear, not the passenger area. The result is that people can walk away from the crash without serious injuries.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, each one of those safety features is another layer. And, you know, in the future, I can imagine cars where we have even further safety features. And I think that's important that we use those technologies to improve. And I think we can apply that same concept of the safety features of a car to those of biosecurity and our sow farms and our pig farms today. We continually add these multiple layers. And so let's talk about some of those, how that principle is applied today in our farms.
There are several risks to consider, Mitch. First, the location of the farm. It plays a crucial role. Like farmers located near high risk areas, such as other pig farms, wildlife habitats, or major transport routes, they are more susceptible to disease introduction. And secondly, the introduction of animals from external source can pose a risk, as the animals may carry infectious disease. Lastly, transportation itself can contribute to the spread of pathogens and proper precautions are not taken.
Yeah, that's right. I think you highlight the highest risk, some of the highest risk things that our farms face today. And I think it's important that we tackle each of those risks by applying as many layers as we can. One thing that would probably be good for us to focus, you know, since we work for a swine genetics company, one of the things that we are involved in a lot is the introduction of new animals into our customer herds. And so I think it's good if we talk about that particular risk factor, what's at play, and how we can add layers to help protect our customers. Eloisa, would you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's a great point, Mitch. When introducing new animals, there are a few key risks to consider. And firstly, disease introduction is a significant concern. Guilds from external source, they may carry infectious disease such as PRRS, influenza virus, PED, among others. Especially here in Brazil, APP and Michael, they are always on our minds. And secondly, even if a guild appear healthy and show no clinical signs of disease, they can still be carriers of pathogens. Those asymptomatic carriers can unknowingly introduce disease to the resident herds. And thirdly, transport of animals is a risk when we are thinking about delivering guilds. Even though if those guilds are coming from a high status farm, we need to consider that transport can put those guilds at risk.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Eloisa. You know, transport, that final step of getting animals delivered from high health farms to the customer, you know, that's one big risk factor. And you mentioned in Brazil worrying about APP and mycoplasma. I envy you that you don't have PRRS to worry about like we do in most of the rest of the world. But yeah, of course, PRRS is another huge factor that we are concerned about here in the United States. So let's talk about applying this layered approach of biosecurity to this particular risk, the risk of introducing new animals. What are some effective layers that we can implement?
Certainly, Mitch. The first layer is to ensure that you are buying your gills from a reputable source. You need to trust your guild supplier. In my opinion, this is essential. It's also important to have a vet-to-vet discussion to obtain a full health history from the animals you are purchasing. So you need to have a good relationship with your supplier. Additionally, testing protocols need to be in place on the source farm, like a robust testing protocol that makes you rely on the health status that the source of your guilds. Also, to introduce the minimal number of guilds possible, or even not introduce at all. Anything you'd like to add, Mitch?
Yeah, I think those are some excellent layers of protection you can add. Once those animals arrive, it is crucial to test them for any potential pathogens. And I think it's important to test them shortly after arrival, specifically if you're dealing with concerns like PRRS or PED. You want to test those animals right away. But then, of course, you got to hold those animals for, you know, at least 21 days. And in some cases, that may be longer, depending on what specific pathogens are of concern. Just like you highlighted, you have different concerns in Brazil than maybe other parts of the world. But that period of holding allows time for the animals to be observed and to detect any other health issues. And then, of course, you want to test those animals before releasing them to enter your herd. Because if they were contaminated during transport, it's very likely you would miss that testing right away. So you want to wait that, you know, minimum 21 days to 28 days and test them again.
Absolutely, Mitch. Now, let's discuss some additional biosecurity layer that can be implemented. One effective additional layer is implementing internal guild multiplication, known as engine. This allows to produce replacement guilds within the farm, reducing the need of external introductions.
Yeah, that's right. I think using internal guild multiplication, which we refer to as engine, is a great way to eliminate a lot of those risks. And so this layered approach that we just gave as an example with guilt introduction, I think can be applied to a lot of other risk factors. And that another risk factor that, of course, we think about often is the introduction of people into your farm.
Yeah, absolutely. People can potentially carry pathogens from other farms. And these are some pathogens that people can transmit for pigs in this situation. I can make a link with the location of the farm. Like imagine a service provider in an area with high density of the pigs. It's likely this provider is attending more than one farm, and the chances of the person itself get contaminated or the tools that this person needs to use could be contaminated.
When your farm is in a pig-dense area, we often think of the aerial spread of certain diseases that can spread via the air. But there's also a pressure on all the other aspects of your farm, from maintenance crews to employees, really having more of a chance of crossover with these other farms. I think the other thing that we don't often think about is when you have something that you may look at as being a lower risk. Your employees come to the farm and you assume they know all the protocols and they've been there before. And so there's a familiarity with how to enter the farm properly. But if the farm has 8 employees and they're showering in and showering out of that farm every day, you're getting close to 3,000 times a year that an individual is showering into the farm. So even something that you may feel very good about and feel like is a lower risk, if you do it over and over and over, it can elevate that risk to where it can be something that is of concern. And so when you have something like that, it's important to mitigate those. And I think that's important. That's, again, where we get into that layered approach to make sure that if something is done incorrectly, you have other protections behind it to protect them. So, you know, the example there is, you know, we put downtime in to enter most of our farms, even though we know there's a lot of science out there that shows if you properly shower, change clothes, and enter a farm, you can prevent the spread of disease. I believe that science, but when you can add downtime, you can really start to control a little bit of when people come to your farm. And that's why at Nucleus Herds, we'll have three nights down, because that pushes people to visit that farm at the beginning of the week before they've had contact with any other animals. And then I think you mentioned too, the people can carry disease from pig to pig, but there are some diseases like influenza that we're worried about that people could give to pigs. And so you want to be sure that your people entering your farm don't have any clinical signs of influenza, such as fever and cough and body aches. They shouldn't be entering your farm if they're clinically sick.
Yeah, absolutely, Mitch. Another thing that I like about downtime, it's because it prevents you to having someone showing up in the farm contaminated. Like another thing we can do, it's to inform visitors about our biosecurity protocols, which includes the downtime required for that person before this person goes to the farm. And before arrive to the farm, it's important to give them the instructions, like you need to have this time of downtime, you need to show up with your clean clothing and boots, you need to wash your car, including inside. It's very important to give the person that is going to visit you that information before it shows up.
Yeah, that's right. And educating them before they arrive. And I think when they arrive, having clear signs in place, so you're visually showing them how to do it, you're reminding them of the importance. So clear instructions, if you can get posters made with diagrams, those can be very helpful. I think using those two examples of introducing animals and introducing people, those are two clear risk factors that you can easily apply multiple layers of biosecurity to. And I think it's important then when we look at the entire farm and all of the things that go into that farm, from feed and supplies, some of the activities like manure hauling and animal transport, all of those are risks. And every one of those, you can add multiple layers. If you depend on one layer to protect your farm and that one layer breaks down, you're in trouble. But if you have three or four layers of protection, if one of those fails, you have other layers that are going to prevent that farm from becoming infected with a devastating disease. As new diseases emerge, having the best biosecurity practices in place is critical to protect our swine herds and prevent the spread of some really devastating diseases that are out there. I think that kind of wraps up today's discussion on having a layered approach to improving biosecurity. I want to thank Eloisa for joining me from Brazil. It was great seeing you and talking to you today.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Mitch. I hope our listeners found this discussion helpful in understanding the importance of biosecurity and the implementation of those layered approach.
Yes, thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And tune in for another episode related to biosecurity, where Eloisa and I will be discussing specifically the risk of transport in our farms.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on this topic, please contact your local Topiksnorsvin representative. Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. Join us again next time.